Well, of course, you know that this past Tuesday was the 4th of July, and we were involved in a family celebration over at Nate and Deanna's house with the Cranefeld family, it was also the day that Vince and Katrina were going to be bringing home Vivian from the hospital. So they were at the hospital. So Greta, my wife, went over and picked up their other kids, Grayson and Audrey, our grandkids, and their grandmother, Katrina's mother, and brought them to the picnic. And they got there shortly before I got there. I was bringing chairs and a few other things. When I arrived at the picnic right there, I pulled up, as I'm coming up the driveway, there is Grayson and Molly, you know, two of our grandkids, standing by their screened-in porch. And Grayson says to me, because he's, you know, intense and into it, Pop, there's a stag beetle here. I found a stag beetle. He knows more about bugs than I do at age 4, right? And Grayson, you know, says that there's a stag beetle. And as soon as he says that, Molly's standing behind Grayson. And Grayson says, Pop, there's a stag beetle here. Hearing that, Molly says, Pop, Grayson found a stag beetle. Pop, you gotta see, Grayson found a stag beetle, right? Such their personalities, right? You know, and as Grayson loves bugs, he does. He loves them. He knows so much about them. He's learned about them. And so he's, wow, look at this. I got a stag beetle. Oh, Molly doesn't love bugs. Molly loves Grayson. And because Molly loves Grayson, oh, she wants to magnify, you know, Grayson's discovery, you know, and kind of make sure that it is advertised and heard and seen, you know, by Pop. Well, I began a series last week on what a wonderful world we live in, how incredible God's design. And my purpose for this series is, in essence, is almost I'm playing the role of Molly, right? Because I haven't created anything. God has created all things. But I can tell you honestly from my heart, though not perfectly, I love God. I love my God. And my role is I just want to say, hey, wow, look at what God has done. Look what God has put there for us to see. This week we want to look at a particular aspect of creation. That what? Touch, feeling. That being able to perceive the world through this incredible gift God gave, by the way, that evolution could never explain, because you have to have all the pieces to it connected right from the beginning, or you know, if they would just have no, if they had no purpose on their own, right? It had to be woven, and we're going to see that, the gift of touch. Right now, where you're sitting in the pew, you could, if you want, close your eyes, and you will greatly impact your ability of sight. You could put your hands over your ears, and it will impact your ability to hear. There's nothing you can do right now to impact your ability to perceive through touch, through feeling. It's an amazing gift of God's design, and we want to look at it today and be amazed by God. Father in heaven, help us to see general revelation, what you have put there for us to see. Paul writes to the Romans, everything we see gives evidence of your creative hand. Lord, let us see it. Let it lead us to your special revelation of your living word, and help us to be excited about how we can use this aspect of your creation in daily life. Pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, in Genesis chapter 27, many of you know the story. Perhaps not all of you here. Maybe you're watching us online, and we're delighted that you are. If you want a Bible, by the way, whether you're here or whether you're watching us online and you don't have your own Bible, reach out to us. We will be glad to get a Bible in your hands, because we want you to be able to read and be amazed, right, with God's special revelation of his written word. But in Genesis 27, And verse 21, we read these words, right? Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. We know the story, many of us do. Esau is very hairy, has very hairy arms. Jacob does it. But as we read the story, we're wrapped up with Jacob's deception. Is he going to get away with it? And it's very easy to miss the incredible daily gift. What's the incredible daily gift? It's what Isaac experiences every day. He can't see with his eyes, but he is able to relate and know his world. How? So he can hear, but through touch. He's able to touch and know, yes, that, okay. And this incredible gift that God has given, it sits there right in the verse, and it's very easy for us to go right by in the story. It's very easy for us to not be amazed at the God who has created touch, feeling. It's what we look at today. It is an integrated system. In Psalm 139, and you may say, you know, it seems like people turn there a lot. And there's a reason, because almost anybody who's speaking about God's amazing creation of our body, they're going to go to Psalm 139, because David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives us such an accurate description. In verse 13, he says to God, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. He says, what? You knit me together. I am this incredible integrated system. And it's good to take a moment every so often to stop and think about all that's in you, to observe the general revelation of the handiwork of God, right? We know more today than Adam did about human anatomy. God put man and woman, you know, even after the Garden of Eden, when he said, go fruitful and multiply, fill the land, what's he saying? Go learn more, discover more, learn this, learn that. And we know God has given human beings that incredible ability to learn, to study, to perceive, to learn more about God's universe, more about the seas, more about sickness and viruses, more about DNA. Adam didn't know DNA, right? What did he know? He knew that God, when he opened his eyes, that he had been created by this incredible God, that he now exists. And without knowing all of the systems involved, how God had woven him, he just started experiencing life based on that. In other words, that integrated system in his body began to sense. In Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it. And there he is, and he's starting to experience life. How? He feels a breeze on his face, right? He feels the warmth of the sun on his body. Perhaps he goes over to what we read in Genesis 2 and verse 10. Now a river flowed out of the Eden to water the garden. Perhaps he goes over and takes some of that water and, wow, this is what wet feels like, as opposed to dry, right? Verse 19, we read, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And we've got Adam now feeling fur on a tiger. Wow. We got him feel, there's a difference between that fur and the hard shell on the turtle. My point is what? Adam is now experiencing life, Adam and Eve, right? They're experiencing life through this incredible design called what? Called the sense of touch, the sense of feeling. It really combines our response to touch, pressure, pain, and temperature, right? So you dig in. I don't know the body the way Dr. Mark McCleary would, or Nurse Jen Hyland, or any of you who studied, you know, anatomy and medical things and whatever, you know, but I've studied it. You know, I go online, dig in. I want to learn all about this sense, right? God has put millions of sensory receptors in your skin and in your tissue. Millions of sensory receptors. There's all different kinds. You know, the four that the categories that I want to draw upon. One is you have thermoreceptors. You have these thermoreceptors all throughout your body that are telling you whether you are hotter or colder. And of course, they must not all be relegated or regulated to the same, you know, because, Carl Ripke, when he was here, he got hot once it was warmer than 60 degrees. Pat Cook, she got cold once it was cooler than 80 degrees. I being Robin Klein, who's in charge of the temperature in here, and you got somebody who's cold, you know, below 80, and somebody who's hot above 60, right? You know, my point is these receptors, these thermal receptors that sense warmth and cold. Then there's mechanoreceptors. Mechanoreceptors sense pressure in your body. And if I said to you, what do you think you have more of, thermoreceptors or mechanoreceptors? The reality is it's the mechano ones. You sense pressure a lot more accurately than you do temperature. There's a lot more mechanoreceptors, a touch on your body, whatever it may be, and we'll see more about that. Then there's the pain receptors that we've been given. So if you want right now, you grab that skin right at the bottom of your elbow, you pinch it as hard as you want, we're not going to hear anybody in here go, ah, right? Because there is barely any pain receptors in the skin right there at the bottom of your elbow. We got plenty of them in parts of our body that are valuable and need to be alerted quickly if you're in pain, right? As a matter of fact, the pain receptors work so intricately that if you put your hand on a fire, your muscles, your other nerves may pull your hand back before the signal goes to your brain and back. Just that's how intricately we've been woven together. And then there's kinesthetic receptors. Kinesthetic receptors let you know where your body is right now, where your arms are. We don't even ever think about that. But there was a fellow in 1971 named Ian Waterman. If you want to mark that down, you go ahead, you could Google it, and you can watch a tremendous documentary. Ian Waterman in 1971 was a 19-year-old butcher. He got sick. And by the time the sickness did its job, the virus, I think, working on his system, he was paralyzed. But his muscles were fine. And the nerves that make his muscles work were fine. What had been attacked was his kinesthetic receptors. And he could not sense where any parts of his body were. He didn't feel anything. He shares how it was terror to lay down because he couldn't feel that he was laying down. He felt like he was in a constant state of floating, right? He didn't know if his arm was behind him, if he was sitting on it, if it was on top of his head. No idea, right? In other words, no sense of where it was. The documentary is fascinating if you want to watch it, because through sight alone, through the years ahead, they teach him how to begin to use his muscles just by looking at them, because they worked fine. Right? But that sense of even just, right? You don't think about it. When you came in here and sat down, those receptors sense that your rear touched the pew padding and you slowed down even your decline, your descent, and you sat, you leaned back. And as you did, none of you went foof, right, into the seat behind you. There's that sense of right where your back is. There's something there. As soon as you touched it, it's holding you up. Right? It's incredible how God has designed us, and it is all intricately knit together. That's why David says, "You wove me together. I was skillfully wrought." We often think that our hearing or our sight are the most valuable. Oh, which would you rather lose? Oh, I don't want to lose. the most accurate is your touch. Your touch is much more perceptive and intense than your vision and your hearing. We are told that you can touch, you can feel on your fingertip 1 micron, one. You know, like, maybe I do this more than you because I eat a lot over my Bible, but you know, I'll open the Bible and I'll be like, oh, wait a minute, there's something there. And I gotta keep turning pages till I get to it. Okay, yeah, there's that little piece of chocolate that, you know, and wipe it off the page, you know. But my fingertip, right? And we think about, oh, sight, wow, standing there at the lake and looking at the mountains. Oh, God, I wanna worship you, and we do. But your finger can sense 1 micron. Your eyes can only discern something that's 100 microns. That sense of worshiping God with the tip of your finger. Wow, I felt that. You know, I had all this prepared, and last night I ate too much, probably too late. I didn't think I did, but I must have. And so it was nighttime. I don't even know what time. Woke up feeling all this, you know, reflux. And so off I went on what is not that odd of a routine to kind of, you know, drag my feet through the hallway to the bathroom, grab what I'm after, take it, you know, wash it down a little bit and come back into the bedroom. And I sat down in a chair we have next to our bed to kind of like give it a little bit of time to everything settle back down, sitting up. And I fell asleep quickly in the chair. I was woken up by the fact that my cheek felt some tiny little legs going up my cheek. And so my response immediately waking up was, whoosh, you know. And, you know, and I did. I smashed it. I could feel, you know, the little bug juices there on the side of my face. Matter of fact, if you want to zoom in, I wanted you to see. No, I washed my face. My hands are clean. Don't worry. But as I sat there, I thought, Lord, asleep. My face felt the tiny legs of a spider on my face. Well, you know, spiders eat bugs, whatever it is. I don't know, you know. But you know, my point is I sat there in awe and I thought, Lord, that is stunning that you have designed me that my face, while I'm in a sleep, was able to perceive the tiny little legs of a spider. And then when I crushed it, my palm of my hand was able to perceive that there was moisture on the side of my face, right? I rolled in the bed and had Greta kiss me on the cheek and all was well, you know. But this isn't right, the incredible. My point is, when we think about it, this incredible design of God, we should find ourselves saying, wow, you are amazing, God. Oh, there is no answer for this in the just natural world. It has to be a creator God who wove this whole system together. Dr. Susan Letterman, who has done studies in tactile perception, says this: touch is our means of seizing the world, experiencing it. Because contact is a two-way street, and that's not true for vision or hearing. Now, I may look at you and it may move you emotionally, oh, that person saw me, but touch is different, right? Because touch impacts the object. The physical world is reacting to touch. And that leads to our second thing that I want to see. Be amazed at God's design, but also be amazed that the God who designed that decided that he himself was going to become part of it and use it. And so it is we read in John chapter 1, right, that John writes these words to us about Jesus. Jesus did not begin as a baby in Bethlehem. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, always has been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus, our Almighty God, the Father, working through the Son, the vessel of creation. Jesus creates what? This this ability for touch. And then what do we read in John 1:14? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw him. We beheld him. What's he saying? He's saying very clearly that Jesus came in the flesh and now had what? Sensory receptors. Jesus felt pain. Jesus felt temperature. And Jesus used this incredible gift of creation in many ways. Obviously, as the practical ways throughout his life of just the ability to touch and sense. But in ministry, Jesus used the ability to touch in two primary ways. One, to identify with people. Look, if you would, at Mark chapter 10. In Mark's gospel, chapter 10, we read about what Jesus does, right? In verse 13, we read that they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Right? Jesus does what? He sees them and identifies with them. And Jesus identified with people often just by seeing them, just by speaking to them. He sees them. He says, "Let the children come." But he also does what? He knows the power of touch to affirm what we have seen and heard. And what does Jesus, in verse 16, he took them in his arms and he began blessing them, laying his hands on them. That incredible gift of touch. That incredible calling, right, that we have to be able to touch. In Matthew chapter 8, we see perhaps one of the most powerful displays of identifying through touch. And we read that when Jesus, verse 1 of Matthew 8, came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to follow him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, right? Max Lucado, in a book that he wrote probably over 20 years ago, Just Like Jesus, he kind of describes this scenario, and he's aware that when he kind of imagines it, it's not the inspired word of God, right? You know, he imagines this guy maybe having been a leper for the last 5 years. Lucado knows that he's not adding to scripture. He's saying, what if that was his scenario? There's some backstory. There's something that this leper came through. And so he imagines that for 5 years he's been a leper. And he remembers 5 years ago when his wife first noticed the leprosy on him and had to report it. And in their day, when somebody had leprosy, that was it. I mean, socially, you just were cast out of society, you know, sent into the tombs or to the rocks and the caves to go live with the other lepers. And that's been his experience. But he says this, 5 years ago, my wife had stepped toward me. She was the last to do so. Now Jesus did. I did not move. I just spoke, "Lord, you can heal me if you will." Had he healed me with a word, I would have been thrilled. Had he cured me with a prayer, I would have rejoiced. But he wasn't satisfied with speaking to me. He drew near. He touched me. 5 years ago, my wife had touched me. No one has touched me since until today. I will. His words were as tender as his touch. Be healed. The touch of Jesus, right? That powerful ministry. You know, when I do weddings, whether it's up here or wherever it may be, I don't say to the couple, "Okay, as you're about to share vows, just fold your arms and look at each other's eyes. Let your words and your eyesight." No, we add something to it, don't we? I do. I say, you know, as you're about to share your vows, you know, take your partner's hands. You know, I often remind them, look in their eyes, sure. You know, don't be saying your vows to me when it's really to her, like repeating words. Look at her, say them to her, but what? Touch. It is something so powerful about it, not only in identity, but in assurance. And Jesus used it for assurance. If I said to you, name somebody who needed the gift of touch to be assured, you might say, Thomas. Because in John chapter 20, the other disciples had seen the risen Jesus. We read in verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails, and I put my finger into the place of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I won't believe. Of course, Jesus appears 8 days later. What does he say to Thomas? Reach here, verse 27, with your finger. See my hands, reach here with your hand, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. In other words, touch affirms what you see, what you hear. John, you know, you may say that Thomas, boy, he was weak faith. John tells us how valuable it was. When he writes one of his last letters in 1 John, back right before Revelation there, what does he say in the beginning? What was, 1 John 1:1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. John says, I got to tell you, we saw him, we heard him, but he wasn't a hallucination. We touched him. It was physical. It was real. And if you'll just believe us, someday you may feel his touch as well, right? Wow! To understand the gift of touch, wow, amazing, God, how you've designed it. I don't even think about the fact. I'm standing here in front of you, not even thinking about the fact that it's because my feet are feeling the ground, and because I have sensory receptors that are telling me that my feet are feeling enough pressure to hold my body, that I'm not standing here going, right? Like I would be if I was walking a tightrope or something, right? It's incredible. Wow, God! Be amazed at how Jesus used it. But know that he still wants to use it in his community. Look, if you would, in the book of Acts, as we kind of move to a close here, in the book of Acts, how the community of Jesus used it, right? They were the gift of the presence of God, in essence, to each other in many ways. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 7, verse 6, Peter sees a lame man. The lame man wants money. Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. Verse 7, seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. Peter could have said, just get up. But no, what does he do? He grabs him. He touches him, right? In chapter 6, when there's deacons for the first time, and they gather the deacons together, we read in verse 6, and these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. We're identifying with you, right? In Acts chapter 9, when Barnabas is meeting Saul, right? Remember, we studied this probably, I don't know how many months ago, but, you know, looking at Paul, the Apostle Paul's life, and the other disciples are afraid of him and keeping a distance. Verse 27, but Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles. Barnabas could have said, all right, look, come with me. Just keep your distance, you know. You know, let me see your hands at all times, you know. I just want to make sure. No, what does Barnabas do? He puts his arm around him. Hey, let's go. This incredible gift, touch. The Beatles used to sing a song, right? Oh yeah, I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand. When I say that something, you know where I'm going. I want to hold your hand. Sometimes we just want to hold somebody's hand. Oh, we just want to. But sometimes it has to be intentional. Intentional. Sometimes it has to be something that you stop and realize. This is an incredible gift that God gave to us, this sense of touch. Jesus used it in a powerful way, and we need to be intentional about it. It doesn't mean you're going to be as touchy-feely as I am. Sometimes I'm still learning. I'm 62 and I'm still learning. Sometimes I'm too touchy, right? The other day I held the door for a couple at Red Robin. Opened the door, they're walking in. They said, "Thank you so much." I said, "Sure thing, brother." Pat him on the back, and for him, the holding the door was nice, but the pat on the back was too much, right? And I'm still learning that I have to remember, right? You know, everybody, you know, isn't me, right? You know, but having said that, maybe you have a spouse whose hand you used to hold, and you haven't held your spouse's hand in a long time. And maybe God's saying to you, you know, I gave you that gift to be used to identify, to affirm. Maybe you need to find an opportunity to sit down somewhere or walking next to your spouse or whatever and hold their hand again. Maybe you got a teenage child or a young adult in and out of the house, you know, you're paying the bills, you're saying hello on the run. One of these times you need to say, "Hey, hang on a second, don't leave yet." And you just need to go over and you need to hug them. Give them an embrace. "What's that about?" "Oh, just because I want you to know I love you," right? Maybe it's just you are the parent of young children. And we're exhausted by the end of the day with young children. But the value of going into your little toddler's room and having them sit on your lap at the end of the day and saying, "Hey, so your day, did anything happen today that made you upset? Anything happened that you really liked?" And just, you're talking, you're giving attention, but you're touching them. They're on your lap. They're feeling your hand on their shoulder. I know there's an area where God's been challenging me on. And it's on the area of just the simple touch in a moment with someone. There are many times that someone will come to me and say, "Pastor, this is going on in my life." And I'm like, "Okay, what is that?" I might even get my phone out. "All right, let me write that down. I want to get it on the prayer sheet. We'll be praying for you." And I'm genuine. I'll pray for them. But I'm sensing the Lord say, "You know what? How about in that moment, just say, hey, before you go, let me just put my hand on your shoulder right now. And for 30 seconds, let me just lift up that need in the name of Jesus," right? Whew, it's incredible. Listen, God has designed us with this amazing gift. Now, I know today you might be like, "Don't touch me. It's yucky outside." Maybe today in the afternoon is not a time outside to go hug somebody, right? But be intentional. Lord, show me how to use this amazing gift to affirm someone. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have designed us in such an amazing way. Thank you, oh God, oh Lord Jesus, that you came in the flesh. You perceived hot, cold. You felt pain. You felt somebody leaning on you. Thank you, Lord, for your example of being willing to touch others and use that gift in a proper way to communicate and affirm the words that you would have us share. Use us, Lord. We're amazed by you. You're an incredible God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.